It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. The year was 1968, and the automotive industry was in a panic mode, looking for a prototype crash dummy that could be used as an average male, large male, and small female. Who did the brilliant minds of American ingenuity turn to?
Yo, police!
Recent historical records have surfaced proving Alexander Graham Bell's first telephone call in 1876 was not his assistant, Mr. Watson, but to...
Yo, police!
Asking him to order Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh from a crash test at Yucca Proving Grounds, your host, Paul Lavoie.
Okay, ready or not, here we come. Tuesday, February 17, 2026. Man, there's a lot of talk about taxes and politics and state stuff and what's happening in the legislature. And aren't you glad you don't have to worry about a lot of that anymore, Jeannie Kench?
Oh, no.
The taxes part, kind of.
As the assessor, I'm at the legislature, in fact, going tomorrow. So
I'm talking
it
about
hasn't gone away.
I'm talking about party politics.
Okay, party politics I am glad about, yes.
A little bit.
Yes.
A little bit. But we were grateful when you were there, let me tell you.
Thank you.
I thought you did a great job as county chair
of
the GOP.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Again, that's Jeannie Kench, Mojave County Assessor in the House. Welcome to Speak Out for Tuesday, February 17th, 2026. I'm Paul Lavoie. Getting a day off yesterday. Actually, people go, you had a day off. And I'm like in the office working. And I just had Speak Out off, right? No, I had a day off yesterday.
Did you really?
I did news at 4:30 in the morning. And then I was like, okay, boop, hang it up, right? So if you heard a couple of weathers that may have sounded off, well, I might have missed a deadline or two, but that was it. I think afternoon maybe that was it.
Well, I'm glad you got a day off. I don't get that too often.
I'm exposing myself right now. So anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. And let's see. I want to let everyone know you're a Havasuvian. You're a Crystal Beachian.
I'm a Crystal Beachian.
Is that what you call them?
No.
Person from Crystal Beach. Anyway, Lake Havasu. Reminding people that the general plan open house now open, the 60-day public review period through April 17th going on now, and that's at the Mojave County Library, 5 to 7 p.m. on February 25th part of that as well. It's at the Mojave County Library from 5 to 7 p.m. on that day. Planning and Zoning Commission hearings are on May 6th and the 20th. June 9th is the City Council hearing. And, as you know, it will go on the ballot.
Yes.
This will be the first time I'm voting for that that ratification
of a general plan for
the city. So
interesting.
Kind of cool for me. Anyway, February 25th will be the general plan open house, and that's from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Mojave County Library here in Havasu on McCulloch.
It's very important.
We're going to remind people every day. Mm-hmm. And then this Sunday is a rodeo fundraiser at the Mojave County Fairgrounds. I don't even know if you know about this. It is for pilot Air Rescue Aviation Supervisor Robert Skanky in Kingman and State Trooper Paramedic Hunter Bennett, who lost their lives on a call. I believe it was last week or a couple weeks ago. There's a barbecue, raffle items, and some family time. 100% of the proceeds go directly to the families. And the Kingsmen wanted to remind people
that's fantastic.
This is a big time. Yes.
Right. They're very much supporting him, of course, both of them.
There's one in Phoenix, one in Flagstaff, one in Kingman. And, of course, the one in Kingman this Sunday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., Mojave County Fairgrounds. and they'll have T-shirts for $25, rodeo barrel racing, raffle items, courtesy of Team Room Tactical. Boy, that is some small type right there. So anyway, supporting the families of our fallen brothers, Hunter Bennett and Robert Skanky. So I understand Mr. Skanky was quite active in the community,
very,
too.
Very, very active.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Did you know him?
No, I did not. I have not met. I had the pleasure of meeting the young man. But
right. So, folks, if you want to call in, there's a lot of stuff we're going to be talking about, like exemptions. There's been some confusion of late, Jeannie tells me,
yes,
as to who's exempt from property tax, who isn't. But first things first, you're going to D.C.
I am.
You're going to go play in the swamp.
I am going to go play in the swamp. I am. There's a national conference. I am currently now the president of ACO, which is the Arizona Association of County Officers. And being the president, they're flying me all over the country throughout the year to represent Arizona in D.C. or
nice.
Wherever I'm going, but there's quite a few different places I'm going to be going to. So I love it. My emphasis when representing D.C. is our public lands. That's been part of course, my job as assessor, as well as where I see we need a little bit more help on. And so I'm hoping that we can get somewhere and get the conversation started.
Public lands, can be more specific.
We have like BLM land, right? Federal lands. We've got state lands, and they go up for auction, and they never really include the stakeholders like Mojave County in these decisions on where are they going to open it up, why it's the best for our county. Each county knows what's best for them, and so I would like to have the stakeholders actually be part of these conversations.
We had Leo Biasucci on Friday. I don't know if you heard the show or not. He's trying to push a bill through to get that type of stakeholder representation.
Yes,
right.
That's a land commissioner per county.
For all 15 counties,
yes.
A land commissioner.
Yes.
And very interesting.
Very necessary, because we started a public lands council in Mojave County, and our hands are tied in a lot of cases. We don't have as much information as we need. If we had somebody in that position, he'd be able to present, this is what's coming around the bend, this is what's going on here, this is what this owner wants here, this is what... So it's very important that we have this conversation, and by having that commissioner, I really hope it goes through. I'm told that Gail might not be real happy with it, Gail Griffin, but they're working together to try to get it where it does go across the finish line.
Gail Griffin, is she a state senator then?
She's a senator now.
I remember
yes.
hearing the name, mm-hmm. and I don't know why she would be against it, though.
I don't know either. I didn't get that conversation
right.
with Leah to know why, but he just said that she's not real happy with it. But we can't be having one senator decide for the entire state some things like that. And Gail Griffin has been instrumental in water, and so she makes some people unhappy and makes other people happy. And so she's into those controversial type. But this is not controversial. This is needed. And necessary.
Yeah. There's always a little bit of compromise in everything that they do with the legislature.
Yes.
And I meant to ask Leo this, but does he see a compromise coming to where maybe not 15, but you get 7, let's say, or 3? But anything's better than 1, yeah. right? There's one land commissioner that serves at the leisure of the governor.
Yes,
that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't see how you can separate and just say give us half, because I think every county, it wouldn't be fair, it'd be disenfranchised for the counties that don't have that. Some counties need it more than others, because some counties have more empty space, like we do, Mojave
yeah.
County, that we need to be watching over it. But I don't know what kind of compromise he's going to come up with, but Leo's really good at that. So
What kind of obstacles or what kind of problems does that create for you? When 88 acres on the island suddenly become public, they're not public land anymore. They're not state land. They're owned by Lake Havasu City.
Mm-hmm.
That's accessible property, right?
Correct.
Does that create a big problem for you?
No. No, not in that case. It might be a problem for the city,
yeah.
right?
But you have to provide a value for that, right?
I will, as it goes, absolutely.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, as it becomes developed.
Correct.
Okay.
So when it was state, we didn't have to, because mm-hmm. it's exempt. There's no taxes there.
Okay. So move on from that. What's ACO? A-A-C-O?
Right. Arizona Association of County Officers. So that includes your treasurers and your recorders and your assessors and your sheriff and... public school superintendent mm-hmm. of schools, all of those are underneath that umbrella of ACO. And constables as well.
Yeah, we originally had you and Sue Ann Mello scheduled.
Oh, yes. She had to cancel. I'm sorry.
Right. Oh, it's not a big deal. Yeah. No, yeah. Not a problem. Although, I let her know that it's a problem. So anyway, applications for exemptions are due in March. Tell everybody what those applications are for. What kind of exemptions?
Okay, so we have multiple exemptions. We have a new one this year as well. I'm going to start off with the widowers, 100% disabled, and less than 100% disabled veteran. That's been on for a while. All of those programs have been available for a while. The assessors were instrumental in getting the less than 100% disabled veterans on the list because a lot of times your disabled veteran doesn't get that 100%. They get 80%, okay, and they weren't getting any exemption. Those all qualifying programs, which means that you can't make too much money or your house can't be worth too much money. These programs are not made for people that have the funds. They're programs for that don't. Now, the new program is the 100% disabled in-service, service-connected veteran. Okay, so your service connected.
What does all that mean?
Meaning service connected, meaning you were in Vietnam and you got 100% disabled from being in Vietnam. Okay, not that you're a veteran and you came home and got in a car crash.
I got you.
Okay, so there's a difference
there.
Oh, in service. Right.
Okay.
So you have to be 100% in service. Now, what had happened was this bill was passed kind of like at the night of day in the budget last summer. Okay, it was they threw it in the budget and they got it passed that way, but they didn't go through the normal process of getting in your stakeholders, checking with the assessors since we'll be doing the program and implementing it. So because they didn't do that, there were some T's crossed and I's dotted that needed to happen, and there was a lot of confusion that was sent out there. Mm-hmm. Their intent, I believe,
which you get the phone calls.
Yes,
from, right?
Yes, they're in my hallway upset. And I don't want to see any veteran upset. I don't want to see anybody upset.
But so-and-so told me.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what happened because the veterans' advocacies, they're really strong in this state, and they were going out there pumping out all the erroneous information, but they got it from some of the legislatures that passed this thinking that's what they passed.
Right.
Their intent was to pass a full exemption for in-service disabled. No qualifiers.
But again, there were compromises.
No qualifiers, right. But what happened was they put it in the wrong section of the law.
Oh.
And they put it in the section that has qualifiers. So us assessors have to follow the law. Okay, that's what we have. Now, we did have a cleanup bill that kind of crossed some T's and dotted some I's, but we couldn't change that qualifier part because that would cost money and it's a tax shift, and that's going to have to be introduced to the legislation separately next year.
But the in-service part does sound fair.
It does. It's 100%. Now, this program is not like the other ones. The other ones, you're going to get a percentage off your bill.
Okay.
This one, if they're 100% in-service disabled, they get full tax exemption.
Like, say you were exposed to Agent Orange, for example.
I just had someone call me and tell me that's what it was.
Okay.
She called today. And he's 100% disabled, Agent Orange. He is service-connected. And if qualified, and don't just assume that you make too much money because there are certain incomes we do not include in that. You can look on our website, and they'll be very clear about that.
Okay.
But, like, your veteran's pension is not included.
Nice.
In that income.
Very
okay.
Nice.
So please apply. We want people to apply. If you are qualified for this, you get 100% exemption.
Wow.
You don't even get just a portion of it. So it's really a great program in that case. For those that were confused and thought otherwise, I'm sorry that happened. But we did what we could to jump on it, and the assessors got a cleanup bill, and we got an emergency signed by the governor just last week. So that's exciting to have it cleaned up.
What about property taxes in general? Those are due on a certain day. Is that coming up?
Your tax bill will come out in
September
for an October due.
Okay.
Yeah, that comes from Sue Ann.
Okay.
Right.
And then now, can those be paid at any of the offices? Now, I remember when it was only one office that took them. I think it was in Kingman.
Yeah. You can take them to all three offices, or you can do it online. It's, I think, a $3.25 charge. Maybe that went down to $2-something, because she's always looking to save people money, meaning
Sue Ann.
Yeah. But it's easy to do it that way. You can also sign up so you can get all that via email.
I got you.
And sign up for it and all that.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you guys have a question, give me a call, 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. I say give me a call. Give Jeannie a call.
Give me a call.
Jeannie Kench, your county assessor, right here in person. And coming up around the bottom of the hour or afterwards will be Krista and Danny Stewart talking about bluegrass on the beach. It's upon us. It's coming. It's about here, right?
We
just had the Rockabilly reunion. What a fantastic event. I don't know if you caught any of it.
No, I had my grandkids in over the weekend. So
it's a big, big, well-attended event.
Nice.
So, speaking of rock, let's go to a guy who's your favorite, right?
Yes.
Kid Rock.
Yes.
She always asks for Kid Rock. Where's the Kid Rock? All right. It's not in the intro, Jeannie. It's right after the intro. So, Jeannie Kench, our guest, Mojave County Assessor, and you don't have to run right now.
No.
That's the best part.
Yes, it is.
So, you're like, Sheriff Schuster always says, I'm the world's worst sheriff world's best sheriff for 3.5 years. For 6 months, I'm the world's worst,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
That's you.
That's right.
I love that. That's a great saying. All right, Jeannie Kench, our guest, back with more in a moment. You can text in your question as well, 928-727-5566. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. We were smoking funny things, making love out by the lake to our favorite song. Sipping whiskey out the bottle, not thinking about tomorrow. That's right, West Coast chilling with the Boone's Wine. I loved playing this song with a band called Explicit Noise that I was in. That's a great name, right?
Yeah, it is. Explicit Noise.
I had a boss that called them Excessive Noise. It was N-O-Y-Z.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Anyway, Speak Out, of course, broadcasting from the city Maytag Speak Out kitchen with a toy sink. Or as I like to say, no sink.
No sink.
Because it doesn't work either. There's no water in that sink. Wayne gave us that. Wayne Morose.
That's fantastic.
Isn't that funny?
Is he going to come plumb it in?
You better not. It's sitting right over a bunch of equipment. Anyway, the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. Find City Maytag, 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Also by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. And those guys, Chad, of course.
Chad.
Chad Hansen will be in the studio tomorrow for the Real Estate Power Hour.
Oh, nice.
Boom! We've got a new real estate person coming in with him. It's going to be kind of cool. I can't divulge it yet. I know who it is, but I can't say. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford by TWN Fiber Internet. Also, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Blonzy Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road, and by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. There you have it. Watch this. All right. I like that part.
That is a good part.
That part
You're
was
a drummer.
Fun. Former.
Former drummer.
I guess once you are,
you always are. Kind of like, right? You know, if you're a senator, you're always the senator.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So the big legislation going through right now.
Well,
we've been talking about this for like 2 years.
Yeah, it's actually been 4 years that Mojave County has been working on it and trying to get the legislature to listen about the issues with deed fraud. And I'm really thrilled about the fact that we are successful this year, and deed fraud is part of the conversations at the legislature this year. We have a bill that is going through. We have a couple bills, which is nice. It's wonderful. There's a lot of holes in our deed transfer processes that need to be filled. And so we're doing the best we can with little ideas at a time. This one that we're getting, hopefully get passed, I'll be speaking on it tomorrow. It went through the Senate last week and it was a unanimous, which is great. And it's a bipartisan bill and it's going to attack things, we're going to get thumbprints for all deeds that need to be notarized. Okay, so
okay.
They're going to require that. They're going to require an ID if you are recording a deed. okay? There, and I love that part.
This is in all of the 15 counties in Arizona?
That's right, the entire state.
Whoa.
Right.
Because you were the first, weren't you?
Yeah, and they're also going to require the program that Mojave County developed. We had the pilot program here called the Address Protection Program. They're actually making it law for the entire state to have the Address Protection Program. So every assessor now has to provide that program for every property owner. It's voluntary, of course. The property owner doesn't have to sign up for it, but they're making it law where they have to have it. They have to have it, which is fantastic. I mean, it's an honor for us to create the program and then finally get the state to listen how important it was that we have that for our property owners in Arizona. And so it's exciting to me to finally get some deed fraud legislation passed. There was another one passed for the realtors last week as well, and they're going to have a program similar to the recorders program where it's a notification program. So the more we can have, the better. The more ideas we have to implement for the property owners in Arizona, the safer we are, the less chances we'll have for deed fraud.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I didn't talk to you about this before, but what does that do for the people that are signed up for, like, LifeLock and things like that? They have deed protection and that. You kind of take the place of that?
Yes, we have the app program, which I call it the Assessor's Address Protection Program, AAPP.
Sure.
You didn't need that anymore if you signed up for ours. What was nice about ours is it was a one-time charge of $50 versus a $30-something fee every month deed lock.
It's
okay?
Not cheap.
So this the other thing about our program is it's proactive, which means we contact you before we officially transfer that property.
So they're not in the gates yet.
Mm-hmm.
They're waiting to get at the gates.
The deed lock program contacts you after it happened. So you still need to get that attorney. You still need to come up with $10,000 for the attorney in order to get your property back. You might have caught it, so it didn't happen where they didn't go move into the property, but it's still after the fact, whereas ours is before the fact.
So you're like Mr. and Mrs. Smith. There's somebody here that wants to sell the property.
Yep.
Is that you?
That's us.
Instead of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, someone sold your property.
Correct. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, did you authorize your property for sale is how we would call them.
Mm-hmm.
So we call them. When you sign up for our program, we see that in our system. We have a transfer that comes to our system, to our staff, and we see that you're in our program with that big red check mark that I have, that you've signed up for the program, and we call you and say, did you sell your property?
So is that $50 one time, $50 a year?
One time.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, of course it is.
Even if you're not assessor here in the future, you're still going to be signed up for that program.
That's right.
Wow.
That's
outstanding.
It is really good, you know. And so it's been so successful, very successful, that the state actually turned their head and went, we want to do that everywhere.
And I don't know of too many attorneys that charge $50 just a one-time fee. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Has it been signed into law yet?
Not yet. I'm going tomorrow to speak. There's a little bit of politics on it. I'm not kidding. So they actually had to make it a striker for tomorrow. I'm not too sure why that happened.
What's a striker?
A striker is a bill that isn't going to go anywhere, but it's on the agenda already. And in this case, the chairman of that committee, which was government committee, and it was Blackman, for some reason he didn't put the deed fraud bill on his agenda. So the Selena Bliss that wrote the bill, she's like, oh well, fine, then we're just going to make it a striker. They find a bill that it's not going anywhere, that's already been cut out, but it's already on the agenda.
It already has bipartisan support.
Well, in that case, it didn't matter what's on that bill.
Okay.
So now they take all of that language out and put our language in.
Okay. We do have a phone call.
Hey.
Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hello, Paul, Jeannie. This is Wayne. How you doing?
Hey, Wayne.
Be like Wayne. Yeah. How are you?
I like your sink, Wayne.
Hey, Jeannie, we haven't crossed paths for a long time, but I'm an old retired pool guy.
Yeah, I know.
Pool,
I hear you. I think I love what you write in the letters to the editor.
Oh, thanks. Hey, listen, is that title block program in effect right now?
Yes.
You already have it. It's a pilot program.
Yes, we have it here.
Okay, and you know what? I'm a pool guy, so you got to talk slow. How do you get it onto that?
You go see Karina at my Havasu office, because you're in Havasu, Wayne, okay? Anybody else around the county can go to the respective offices that we have, and you sign up right there. You bring your ID. We need to vet you. We want to make sure that you are who you are. We're going to notarize you, and you're going to swear you are who you are. Make sure you bring in your ID and any parcel addresses you have.
Property.
Yeah. Okay. We've got that information, so you just can tell us, and we can do a search under your name and anything under your name. It's $50 per parcel. The ones that are most susceptible of stealing are vacant land.
What about homes that have been paid for?
Homes that are paid for. Uh-huh. And homes that maybe you're out in the middle of nowhere with a single wide trailer on it, that no one's noticing activity, and so they'll do that. And they literally do. They look for people. They go into the obituaries,
They
look to see who's passed. Yes, it's disgusting how these, if they spent the good, you know, all their time on good things, imagine what our world would be like, right?
Right, right.
I got one other question. How about commercial property?
We can do the same thing for commercial property, but you're going to find that that's not as susceptible for somebody trying to steal.
Okay.
Not that I'm saying no. I mean, you know, you're going to...
It's still $50 a parcel?
It's still $50, yes.
Okay.
No
other
chance.
Wow, look at that. Something that is related to business that costs the same.
That's right. Imagine that.
Yeah. Appreciate all you do.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Paul.
Nice talking to you, Wayne.
Thanks, Wayne. Appreciate you. Anything else while we have you here? Before I go to break?
That's like everything. I know you have to go to break.
We're going to talk about a whole lot of bluegrass.
Yeah, you're going to talk a whole lot of bluegrass. Here in Lake Havasu, our phone number is 928. Where am I here? Lake Havasu, 928-453-0702. And Karina is my girl there. She's at lunch from 12 to 1. Go see her. She'll take care of you with all your exemption programs and your app program.
All right, perfect.
Thank you for having me,
again,
Paul.
Jeannie Kench, Mojave County Assessor. Good luck with that bill.
Thank you so much.
It sounds like you got a pilot program going on anyway.
Yeah.
If the bill fails, which I doubt it will.
We're still good.
You're still good.
That's right.
All right. In Mojave.
Yes, yes.
All right. Perfect.
Thank you.
I can imagine the Maricopa County Assessor's going, what in the world did she start up there?
He's agreeing to it. He says he's just going to go to the Board of Supervisors and see if he can get money for it.
Right.
So it's all good.
Right. Who's it? Debbie Lesko's on that board now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
She's a good one.
Yes.
Good egg there. All right. We're going to take another break, and then we're going to come back with Danny and Krista Stewart from Danny Stewart Productions, talking about bluegrass on the beach. Yes, it's coming up again here in Lake Havasu City. All right.
Goodbye. Thank you,
Thanks,
everybody.
Jeannie. Appreciate you.
But I'm still having a good time.
Kind of waiting for George Clooney to come in there, right? Danny Stewart's here. I always like talking music history with Danny. He's like the godfather of bluegrass when it comes to bluegrass history, it seems like, Krista, right?
I kind of think so. Just a keeper of all knowledge.
He's an encyclopedia of fiddle. Anyway, Speak Out brought to you in part by A&B Propane, abpropaneaz.com, also Springberg Wealth Management by The Chair, Laughlin Ranch by Mojave College, also samsguns.com, Solar Power by Esme Electric, by Doritos Place, and Legacy Rehab and Care. And don't forget to buy local, or it's buy local. And this is Ralph Stanley and the Clinch Mountain Boys. Of course, they're not going to be at Bluegrass on the Beach.
No, Ralph's passed away now.
right. But that's the original version of I'm a Man of Constant Sorrow, which is from the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which movie?
That was Old Brother, Where Art Thou?
Right. You must have been in your element when that movie came out.
I was. That actually, that did a lot for bluegrass back in, I think, around, 2001, maybe?
Sure.
And that really put bluegrass on the map in a good way, too.
Tell us about some of the acts you have this year. The headliner was Darren and Brooke, correct?
Yes, Darren and Brooke Aldridge.
Yep, and actually, Brooke is IBMA's International Bluegrass Music Association's female singer of the year. Probably, I don't know how many times, probably eight to ten times
by
now.
Holy
moly. Yeah, she's got an amazing voice.
Let's listen. And if you look at them on the album, this one is Darren Aldridge and Brooke Justice. They look like kids.
Are they kids? They're not kids, but they're a sweet young couple.
She's
just absolutely adorable.
She sounds way beyond her years.
Yes. Yeah.
Way beyond your. How long have they been doing bluegrass?
How long have you known them? I mean, I would say he's probably in his 40s and she's probably in her 30s. I'd be willing to think they're not kids.
Well, they are to me.
Yeah.
They are to you, Dan.
they all love kids. I guess.
Right.
Just a sweet young couple, though. They just bring a lot of, I just think, wholesomeness. You know, just really pure. Her voice is just, like, angelic.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah.
Where do they come from?
I'm not sure. I think it's Tennessee or Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Most of them do, don't they?
Yeah, most of them come.
Or West Virginia.
Virginia or North Carolina. You know, that's where the real deal comes from right there. And that's what I try to bring out here to Havasu is the real deal.
Well, that's still them, Darren and Brooke. So Much In Between is the name of the album, Darren and Brooke Aldridge. And they'll be right here in Lake Havasu City during Bluegrass on the Beach, and that is March 6th, 7th, and 8th.
Correct.
At
the beautiful State Park.
Yeah,
Windsor Four. Gotta love Windsor Four.
Where else?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
You got new artwork on the posters this year.
Yeah.
I love it.
We're super happy about that. We use local printer here in town, TJ Ayers with Natural Tees right here in Havasu, does our graphic work and design work. This poster, you'll see it all over town. Danny and I are going to be all over hanging up posters and, you know, hanging them in town. And this will also be the T-shirt logo this year.
Tell me about some of the bluegrass festivals that you've done so far this year. I know you guys are on the road constantly.
We're busy.
I follow you on Facebook.
Yeah, thanks. We're super busy. I think January started out with our cruise. That's an annual event out of Florida.
Wait, what? You were telling me about some of the groups that went on the cruise with you.
Yeah,
right? Talk about it.
Yeah, so we do a bluegrass cruise every year, and sometimes we do two a year. Or like we did one last August. We went to Alaska out of Seattle.
Was that Cutter and Cash on that one?
Cutter and Cash wasn't on that one.
No. Who was the band that was on that?
On that one there, we had a whole bunch of bands, but one was Crying Uncle.
Okay.
That's actually a
California band.
They're an awesome California band. So we did that Alaska cruise in August, but every year we do a January cruise in Florida at a Port Canaveral. And next year is going to be January 18th to the 22nd. And we hire all the bands, bring it on. We have basically a bluegrass festival on the ship. We play in the main theater, so we're getting $1 million PA system to play on. And it's just, you know, the music, as long as my sound man's spinning the knobs right, you're never going to hear a better sound system coming at you.
What was I going to say? Do you recruit for this festival from that cruise?
Sometimes, yeah. Actually, like Little Roy and Lizzie played my festival
here
every year.
Sure.
You know, and they're actually going to come back to Havasu next year. I got that.
God's been good. I still have that on the playlist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lizzie's got an amazing voice too.
Yeah, great. It's a good time, and the cruise, we look forward to it. What's nice about the cruise is we don't have to worry about the wind or the rain or the trash cruise,
right.
Or we got people doing all that for us, so we get to actually enjoy our own festival sometimes, you know.
No gas for the generator.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly.
Yeah, or the porta potty.
Yeah, we don't have porta potties and we don't have golf carts. Yeah, the only two staples of a true bluegrass festival, you know, the golf carts and the porta potties.
That's
but
funny.
I do tell the customers that next year I'm going to bring porta potties to give it that feel.
Just on the Lido deck. Yeah, just put them up on the Lido deck. Yeah.
So you are based out of Florida though, right?
Yes. Actually our office is up in Pennsylvania, but our residence is Florida.
Who's from Pennsylvania originally?
Me.
You are. Yeah. Where did you get your love for bluegrass?
That's a good question. My mom and dad played country music. I grew up in the Philadelphia area, you know, and my mom and dad had a country band growing up, and my uncle had a bluegrass band growing up. And my mom and dad didn't like bluegrass music, and my uncle really didn't like country music so much, you know.
Is that a natural rivalry?
It's like the Hatfield McCoy.
Is it really?
Same, yeah, yeah.
Same, so you different rhythm.
So you won't hear much bluegrass on KJJJ, is that what you're saying? Even though we sponsored bluegrass on the beat.
No, well,
I think there's a good crossover.
The crossover is in more of the classic country stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to create a news story here.
Yeah. But I started playing a mandolin when I was 13 years old.
Oh, wow.
So that was 47 years ago now. And I just got hooked. And I mean, once you get bit by the bug, you know, as you know, you're a musician. Once you get bit by the bug, you want more of it. It's like an addict.
Drummers hang out with musicians, by the way.
Yeah,
exactly.
One day, maybe.
right. So speaking of crossover with country and bluegrass, you've got this band here that's going to be there, right? Cutter and Cash.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
This song,
old school. Yeah.
Mamas don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Check this out, folks.
Don't let them pick guitars and drive the old drums. Let them be doctors and lawyers and such. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys.
You know, she said liars and such.
Liars and such. That's
not
right.
Lawyers, liars.
Liars
and such.
And such.
That's great. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah, so Cutter and Cash is coming, and actually Jeannie Seely, big mm-hmm. country star, she took a liking to them a couple years ago and had them on the Grand Ole Opry a few times, and she really got behind them and helped produce them on a lot of things, too.
Nice.
But then she passed away maybe 6 months ago, maybe a year ago. So it's a big hole in the country world.
It's something I've noticed about bluegrass, except for maybe Alison Krauss, who I consider bluegrass.
Yes. Oh, yes. 100%.
It seems like they all come from that one vein, the haulers and that in West Virginia. They all sound like they come from this very classic, almost, I want to say ancient, but it's not ancient, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Is that making sense?
No, yeah, it does.
They have that very similar genre sound mm-hmm. that doesn't, It hasn't really evolved. Like, that sounds like it could be 60 years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's how that band, Cutter and Cash, that's actually how they performed. They actually dressed like the old school country shows. Like, you know how you would have Porter Wagner and Dolly Parton with the glitter and stuff?
Porter Wagner, yeah.
Okay, that's they even though they're kids, I mean, the people who've seen the real deal in the past, it's the taste of what used to be going on 40, 50 years ago.
So this will sound more like the motion picture, right? That what is it? I can't remember. I never can remember the name of that picture.
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Right.
Yeah.
George Clooney.
Sure.
I can't remember. There was a couple of stars in there.
That, oh,
that
yeah.
Big, big.
Yeah.
But this is the song from that movie.
Yep. Now that's Monroe Crossing playing that song.
Can you tell the difference?
Yes. Yeah, in a heartbeat.
I could tell the difference between the first one because of the age of the recording, but a number of bands have done this song, correct?
Oh, yeah. Everybody under the sun's done this. You know, it's like a rock band doing Freebird, you know.
I think it's paying, you know, just homage. You know what I mean? It's
respect
of what it is.
When you told me George Clooney is not singing in that movie.
Yeah.
Correct.
George Clooney's lip-singing this, and the real singer is Dan Tominski, who used to be Alison Krauss's lead singer.
Gotcha.
Okay, that's kind of what made his claim of fame. He used to actually be part of the Lonesome River Band one back in the day too.
Okay.
But Allison brought him to a whole new level.
He's a Grammy Award winner. I've heard the name recently too.
Yeah, well
he's doing a lot of touring.
Dan Tominski's on fire right now. Dan Tominski Band. But yeah, he's won all kinds of awards over that. I mean, everybody recognizes him now. That I mean, because of his voice from. You know, people think it was George Clooney, and it wasn't, you know.
This was a big surprise for me, but Special Consensus, who's also coming, it's not like they're from Virginia or North Carolina.
The Windy City.
From
the
Chicago.
Windy City.
Yeah.
A bluegrass band from Chicago.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Greg Cahill.
Greg Cahill. Mm-hmm.
And Greg is like a lot of people who who he's been going on probably for 50 years himself, and a lot of people come to into his band and play for a while and end up leaving his band and go to the next whole level.
Okay.
So Greg is like basically a good training ground for musicians and singers in the bluegrass world.
You guys want to take a phone call?
Sure.
Yeah, I know, right? Surprise. They thought we were recording. Well, we are, but that's for the archives, but we are live, too.
Sure,
so
we can take a phone
call.
Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, drummer dude.
Yes, who's this?
Horn dude.
Oh, here. It's Sax Man. What's going on?
Yeah. Oh, well, I just wanted to let you know, I'm a concert band guy and a big band guy, but I love bluegrass.
All right, cool. This is Greg. He's with Symphonic Winds. Been playing saxophone probably since he was four.
Oh, I love saxophone. Yeah, I love saxophone.
and the Lake Havasu Big Band.
Right. So are you planning on going to bluegrass on the beach?
I'm going to try. You bet.
Wonderful.
Sit in your chair and you tap your foot and you just enjoy the heck out of that stuff.
All right, perfect.
And don't listen to Paul that he hangs out with other musicians.
Whatever.
I try to get him to come to our shows and he stiffs me every time.
No, that's not true. You guys had a lot of competition this weekend for events, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, we did, but you know what? We had a really good crowd for the wins.
Oh, good.
And then
two weeks
before that, we had a really good crowd for the big band too.
Right.
But we'll be playing the Chagrus on March 29th, the big band. So.
Perfect plug. Yeah. I got to let you go.
Oh, you got it.
All right, thanks, Greg.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Right. Bye-bye. Let's go over the sponsors, because once again, Anderson, big sponsor.
Anderson's absolutely amazing. They've been a really great sponsor for the festival, and, you know, just absolutely amazing. They have stages they can deliver. They have lighting. They have all kinds of wonderful things, not just monetary donations, but they really have hands-on, like a lot of things they can bring to the festival equipment-wise and stuff like that.
I was blown away. I saw some of the rockabilly on video as well as I was there. But I didn't see the evening performance, but the Anderson sign that was lit. Oh, whoa,
very nice.
What a touch.
Very, very nice.
And then the backdrop that was lit with the rockabilly logo.
Yeah.
Holy smokes,
And even
man.
Like when you first walked in, like their walk-in gate, they had like a nice archway. They had like a really nice display that they brought in.
How fancy does the stage production get for, say, bluegrass?
Well, I think it's just a different because you're dealing with acoustic instruments versus, you know, plug-in and amps and things like
that.
Ours is a little bit more simplistic, I think, just because we don't have the plug-in instruments and stuff like that. But another one of our sponsors this year is going to be Star Nursery, and they're right here in town too.
Yeah.
And, you know, they help with decorating and just bringing plants and some metal art and those types of things. So, yeah, sponsors here in the community have been fabulous, wonderful to work with.
Don't get too fancy with the intelligent lighting and all that?
Not really, because our shows, our music is done by like 6.
Oh,
you know?
It is?
Yeah, our music is done at dusk. I think, you know, with the Bluegrass Festival, not only are you seeing the concert, but a lot of people come and stay with us in camp, and that's the cool thing about the genre of this music is there's hobbyists. So the picking is a huge deal, but we don't have to have music till 10, 11 o'clock at night, but people go to the campground and pick around their own campfires.
Ah, so you have these
little side bands
that break out.
Yeah, little side.
Yeah, see, so basically, with bluegrass music versus country or rock, is a lot of those people who go to country or rock, a lot of them don't play, they listen. Where bluegrass, a lot of people play, whether it's mom or dad. A lot of them, the husband will play like banjo, and then all of a sudden, the wife wants to join in. So if the guy's smart, He'll have his wife play a bass. You always have a bass player with you. You know, it's a good move.
Danny's been trying for years. It's not happening.
So a lot of times you see a woman bass player because the guy's playing guitar or banjo.
Gotcha.
And he's got it set up right. I have a buddy of mine in Florida that has it set up that way. And his first wife played bass and his second wife played bass.
That's funny. So if you see a big tall guy walking around, looks like he might be the concert promoter. He's got a mandolin in his hand. He's going to want to join in on your little jam.
Absolutely.
That's true.
You want to mention the other sponsors?
Yeah, so Big O Tires has been extremely helpful and just a wonderful sponsor here in the community. Obviously, the Arizona State Parks and Trails. Gary at Romer Beverage, you know, he helps stock our whole bar. Campbell Cove One Stop and Campbell Cove RV, they've been absolutely amazing to us. Rusty's Diner here in town. The White Sheet, absolutely, you know, giving us wonderful coverage. And, of course, Nash. you gotta throw that out to Nash.
Triple J Nash, 102.3 and Radio Central. Yeah.
Absolutely. Been now wonderful.
You got the force of Speak Out behind you too.
Exactly.
As usual every year.
Exactly.
Thanks for joining us on Speak Out.
Absolutely.
We appreciate you. Is there anything else that we missed?
I think just hope to see everybody there.
The website.
Yeah,
tickets.
Tickets are available at the gate, and they're also available online at bluegrassonthebeach.com.
Okay.
So people can purchase at the gate. Gates open daily at 9 o'clock. So you can purchase your tickets there, or you can go online and buy them in advance. And see you there.
Perfect. Awesome. Bluegrass on the Beach, March 6th, 7th, and 8th, back in Havasu. All right. We love it.
Thank you, Paul.
And I'm going to be mentioning that as the weeks roll on here.
Yeah.
So the days roll on.
We appreciate you. We appreciate you guys.
Always. All right.
Yeah,
we appreciate you too. All right. Back with more in a moment. I'll have a final shot when I come back on Speak Out. Stay with us. All right, once again, March 6th, 7th, and 8th. You might even see me out there. Not with a drum set or anything, just spectating at Bluegrass on the Beach at Windsor 4, of course. All right, Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News. Guess what? Boom! I just preceded the Real Estate Power Hour. Boom! On tomorrow, Chan Hansen will be here. And a surprise realtor, but everybody pretty much knows her.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.